little Lady Gaga, as the president would call her. All right, Senator Dick Durbin is on the Super Senator Hotline. And, Senator, thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Busy week, obviously, for the United States Senate. Let's talk a little bit about the confirmations that are in front of you right now. Jeff Sessions there's a firestorm, obviously, surrounding him now. And Elizabeth Warren seems to have the profile of Elizabeth Warren and her attempt to read Coretta Scott King's letter in the well of the Senate, and her being told to she had to stop doing that and to sit down, couldn't it? And other senators had to complete that. That seems to have raised the temperature here, but does it really make a difference?
I don't think it'll make a difference in the final vote, but it sure did catch the attention of the Senate. Understand, this was a letter written by Coretta Scott King to the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Strom Thurmond, back in 1986, I believe it was. At this time, Jeff Sessions, then a U.S. attorney, was seeking a federal judgeship. He was turned down by a majority Republican Senate Judiciary Committee, turned down. And one of the pieces of evidence used against him was this letter from Coretta Scott King. She took exception to a lawsuit he had brought over a voter fraud case in Alabama and said that she thought that it was a miscarriage of justice. Well, it was understandable. Elizabeth Warren brought this letter in. It already was part of the record of the Senate, already had been filed in the Senate, and she read from it. It turns out the rules of the Senate when it comes to senators speaking of other senators are a little bit different. You cannot impugn the conduct or the motive of a senator. Well, I'll tell you, that rule is honored in the breach almost every single day. But last night, Senator McConnell raised the question, and legitimately the chair ruled that she had stepped over this invisible line and gone too far, stopped her from speaking, at which point all heck broke loose. Yeah. Votes on the floor and speeches are made, and there's been a lot said since then about her using this. But it wasn't like...
Is it fair, though? Let me ask you, Senator, because I know that you've got to run back to this, but do you think that it is fair to Senator Sessions that he be... that this issue from the 1980s be brought up, not given his record moving on from that? And he did, and I remember during his confirmation, and I remember you questioning him during the confirmation hearings, that he addressed this and said that this was a mischaracterization of what his position is, that he is very, very strong on civil rights, and he made a very compelling argument for why he actually is very much the opposite of the portrayal that is being created around him.
First is, if that were all that you brought up, no, that's not fair. I believe personally and politically in redemption. People can learn, people can change, people can learn from life's experiences and be better people. That's how I'm built, and I'm praying to goodness most people look at me the same way. But, you know, what it comes down to here is this basic question of the Voting Rights Act. This was a piece of history that went back 30 years, and now she was bringing it up to date to some of his current positions on the Voting Rights Act. So it wasn't an attempt to just isolate it to say, this defines him, don't give me any more information. I think she was putting a complete picture together, but making reference to this letter and something said by someone else, she stepped over a line, which is often stepped over in the Senate, and was called out for it.
Senator Durbin, I want to ask you about the subject of safety. You've said that the president is misguided with targeting the refugee program, that those are some of the most vetted people coming into our country, and many people might agree with that. But I want to ask you, do you think any halt on immigration or visas from those countries known to harbor terror, is that acceptable? Is that something you would agree with at this point in time?
Well, here's what we know. Every refugee brought in from those seven countries, every single one of them, not a single one of them, has ever been accused of terrorism in the United States, period. So it means that the process we're going through, checking them, going on for months, if not years, and checking them before we allow them in, it really has worked better than you could hope for in most cases. It's hard to get anything that's 100% right, but so far it is. So if you're looking for the most dangerous source of terrorists in the United States, you wouldn't start with seven countries that have never produced one in the refugee process. There are other places to look. If you went out to O'Hare on a regular basis, day by day, month by month, and checked foreign visitors coming into the United States, many of them, hundreds of thousands of them, have no background checks coming into this country. They come into what we call a visa waiver program. They present the passport from that country. We accept them. They're brought in. They become part of our population, and no questions are asked. So if you ask, what is a way to make America safer, one thing might be to check fingerprints before people board planes, so that we better be prepared to do the same thing as Americans. But before you board a plane coming in this country, you submit your fingerprints. Not a hard thing to do. They're checked while you're in flight. If there's any question, they stop you before you come off the plane. There's a way to make us safer. But going after refugees, people who are victims of terrorism, when there's no evidence of this, the president's picking on the wrong group.
Now you're about to sit down with the president's pick for the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, I suppose. Do you know how, is it Gorsuch or Gorsuch? Because I've heard it
Gorsuch.
Both ways. Gorsuch. Okay, good. We've heard it both ways. Now, the interesting thing that is apparently now developing is that Gorsuch has described the president's activities on Twitter about judiciary as disheartening. There's a quote of him that is now being starting to be reported here. And apparently it took place even before yesterday, before the president went on Twitter this morning to
his daughter and Nordstrom.
But also about how not even a good high school student would find in his favor when he was criticizing the Ninth Circuit Court here and what they in their conversations yesterday with the attorneys, mm-hmm. their hearings with the attorneys. What do you, first of all, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, what is your reaction to the president personally going after, using Twitter to go after these judges?
Childish, immature, certainly not respectful of our constitutional institutions in America. And frankly, no other president that I know of has been so open and public in these statements. He has called judges who ruled against him so-called judges, questioning whether or not they're real judges. He went after a judge in Indiana, saying he disqualified himself because he was from Mexican ancestry. And for that, Paul Ryan, the Republican House Speaker, labeled him as using racist remarks. Paul Ryan's words, not mm-hmm. Durbin's words. Mm-hmm. So the point I'm getting is he stepped over a line which has never been stepped over publicly before. I don't doubt that some presidents have closed the doors with aides in the Oval Office, said, you know, I just want to tell you what I think of that judge, and really lit into him. But this has been very public, and it starts to eat at the confidence we have in institutions that count in America. So when Judge Gorsuch says it's disheartening, that is a pretty mild criticism, but at least he was critical of what I think is inappropriate for the president to do.
Does that make you more likely to support him? Is that
it's a good, you know, and it's a good start. I've never met the man. He's going to come by my office next Tuesday. I've met with six different people headed for the Supreme Court. You sit around and you talk to him and try to see if there's a real human being in there, and there usually is. And then you try to find out, you know, what are your values? What are the things that mold you? What are your life experiences that give you your values? Those are the things I found, incidentally, which you can count on more than anything else to predict what a person's going to do on the Supreme Court. So I'll spend some time talking to Judge Gorsuch about that, and then we'll get into some of the law. That's a little trickier because a good judge, like a good lawyer, can dance around the law without really answering your question squarely.
Yeah,
sure.
How are you feeling right now, Senator? I think there's a lot of people in America, and I include myself in this, that, you know, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I think, well, what's wrong today? There's something wrong. And I wake up and I think, I'm worried, and I think a lot of Americans are worried that this doesn't feel like, and this has nothing to do with the politics of it, because I don't happen to disagree with all the politics of it, but, as you know, but I feel disheartened myself because the behavior that I'm seeing exhibited here mm-hmm. is not, as Kellyanne Conway said yesterday, we need to be respectful of the office of the presidency, of the dignity of the office of the presidency. And I don't feel like the president is being respectful of the dignity of the office of the presidency. And I think it worries a lot of Americans.
Well, you know, bro, let me just put the cards on the table. We're on, in day 20. day 20 of the presidency of Donald Trump. And it seems to me like a lot longer when I think about what we have been through, what we are going through, and what likely is going to lie ahead. Secondly, America, and I've studied history a little bit. I'm not a professional at it. We've never been through anything like this. Nothing like this. The closest is Andrew Jackson coming off the frontier with bullets in his body, having fought off the Indians here, there, and the other place, bringing his backwoodsmen in, saying, sleep on the floor of the White House if you want to. You know, it was a big cultural change in the presidency way back when, 180 years ago. But nothing in modern history that parallels what we just went through in this election. And we have a lot to go. The uncertainty you feel, the tension, stress, man, I get it all the time. If you could imagine being a political figure, people come up to me at the airport, and usually I say, thanks for what you're doing, be strong, and so forth. But sometimes they tell me something else. I mean, and so it is a very emotional time we're going through.
I want to get you just to your comment on this, too. Obviously, now there's some talk today that the president tweeted about his daughter in Nordstrom's and that they mistreated him, mistreated her, and it's terrible. How is it possible that we're not able to, as the American people, get proper financial vetting of the president himself? We don't even know for sure those documents that separate himself from the business are fully complete. No one in authority has seen those. Can Congress, can the Senate, can anybody ask for those?
Well, it's a good point. This has never, in modern history, has never happened before, where a president has concealed his income tax returns, his basic financial data, and we don't know, literally do not know, about a man sworn in as president, what conflicts of interest he has in dealing with this government or in dealing with governments of foreign powers. That is an incredible statement I just made, but that's it. He has just not disclosed it. He said, basically, the tax returns are my business, not yours, and I'm not going to file anything I don't have to. I've done all I'm going to do with my businesses. This is an invitation for an ethical disaster. I hope that he comes to his senses and listens to people and really straightens it out. You know, suspending the accumulation of wealth for a few years is not too much to ask for a man who wants to serve as president of the United States.
Seems reasonable.
But have these conflicts to continue just raises suspicions about his relationship with Russia and Putin and other countries where his businesses are located. That is a shadow over his presidency.
Well, just using his platform to try to move, you know, punish a business that wasn't kind, that removed his daughter's product for their own business interests, it does not seem presidential or respectful or the right thing for the people, you know, the guy that's working for us to do. Senator, I know you got to run. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Senator Durbin.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Violetta Pottermanek, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.